1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And we're going to read beginning in verse number 9 and read down through verse number 13. As we finalize our series on the marks of a mighty church, the message tonight is simply entitled A Growing Church. And over the last 2 months, we've preached on a purposeful church, a persistent church, a praying church, a purified church, a loving church, a church of mighty faith, a church with mighty families. And tonight, we'll conclude this series with a growing church. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you tonight for the message we've heard in song and for the testimony from Brother Ramos. We pray that you would help us tonight to be a tremendous blessing to this family. Father, that they would be able to purchase the van and receive the medical needs, Lord, for the church members there in Honduras. Now we pray that you would bless the remaining moments of our service as we need this time in your word to prepare us for this week. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
The shepherds ran the darkened path to Bethlehem to see the child, to meet the King. Imagining a royal scene would welcome them. Would there be songs of praise and worship, gifts and offerings? A regal hall alive with celebration to greet the child, to hail the King. A banquet feast, a festive jubilation. Would there be music filled with praise, and would the angels sing? This is the a mighty King is born. This is the way to welcome royalty, an earthly celebration for his coronation day. The trumpets sound a regal fanfare. This is the a modest manger bed is where the shepherds found the holy child, the King of Kings. His presence turned the stable into holy ground, but this was not the royal scene they were imagining. They knelt before God's holy gift, the Savior's birth. This was the child, this was the King. From heaven's throne, God's only Son had come to earth. Let all creation raise the song and with the angels sing. This is the way a mighty King is born. This is the way to welcome royalty. Yes, this is God's way that a mighty King is born. This is God's way to welcome royalty. eternity. A heavenly celebration for his coronation day. The angels sound a regal fanfare. This is the way. The angels sound a regal fanfare. This is God's way.
Recorded in our text tonight is a prayer of the Apostle Paul for the church at Thessalonica. We've already discovered in our study in the church of Thessalonica that this was indeed one of the mighty churches of the first century, that God had raised this church up in a great way as a testimony for His honor and for His glory. And it is a prayer that we find the Apostle Paul giving for maturity and spiritual growth in the life of this church. He says in verse number 9, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." Here we see the Apostle Paul praying for the growth of the church. And he is not praying primarily for a numerical growth here. He is praying for a growth in maturity, for a growth in their faith. And we've seen in the Word of God that God is really far more interested in the health of a local church than He is in the size of a local church. God's concern is with each of our hearts tonight, that we have hearts for Him. And as we approach 1999, there are certainly many opportunities facing me as a pastor and facing you as a people, and many great opportunities. And we think of a new theme to be unveiled in 9 or 10 days, and we think of a new building to be dedicated in just a few weeks, really. And we think about all of the opportunities ahead of us, but you know, none of these things, none of the new opportunities are as vital tonight as each of us maintaining a heart that is growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it for a moment. What good is a new building if our hearts are not right with God? What good is all of the planning? And there have been hundreds of hours of planning. What good are all of the meetings? What good is all of the material to be placed into our hands on Vision Night and all of these things? What good is the new building? What good is the program that's being outlined if we are not where we really should be with God, you see? Paul's prayer was that this church would continue to grow, not necessarily in number, but that they would grow in their heart for God. And ministry must flow from Christ-centered hearts if it will be pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, I want you to note with me three areas where we must continue to grow as a church. Because if we do not grow in these areas, then all of the development of ministries and buildings means nothing if we are not truly men and women of God who are, yes, growing in our Christian life, who are not perfect. None of us are perfect tonight, but all of us need to say, God, help me to continue to grow in the Christian life. Now notice tonight, first of all, that Paul prayed that they would have faith to mature. He prayed that their faith would continue to mature and that their lives would continue to mature for God. You'll see this in verse 10. He says, "Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." He says, "Don't you realize that we've been praying night and day that you would be perfected or matured in your faith?" Now, the word perfect here tonight means to bring to full development or maturity. Paul says we're praying night and day that your faith would mature and grow. And as a pastor and as a church tonight, we are a people more than we need the building. We are a people who need a faith that is stronger and more mature. We are a people who need to continue to grow in a trust, in a faith in God, in a belief that God is able, in a belief that God can do anything but fail. We are a people tonight who need to mature and develop in that concept of our faith and trust with God. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. And my friends, if you've been around Lancaster Baptist for any period of time, you have seen God bless our faith in the past. You have seen as we have stepped out in faith that God has blessed. And as we have said, wow, Lord, we're just a bunch of young kids who are trying to trust in you and just a young church who believe that you can. And when we've stepped out in faith and with a heart of real trust in God, we have seen what God can do. But what we need to realize tonight, as the Thessalonican church needed to realize, is that just because they had begun in faith did not mean that they were still in a maturing process, did not mean that their faith was where it should be today. And so we who have begun a good work of faith must continue to grow in that faith. You'll recall in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul said, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. And any work that is pleasing to God, whether it is in Honduras or whether it is in America, is always going to be a work of faith. But Paul said, while that was great, that they had started with the work of faith, he was praying that they might perfect or mature or come to full development in their faith. In short, tonight, what we need to recognize before the new year starts is that if we have any notion that we have arrived in our faith, if we have any notion that we are where we need to be spiritually, then we are being vastly, vastly wrong in our assumption. If we tonight think that we are where we need to be, if we think that we are super Christians, if we think that we have made it spiritually, then we really are fooling ourselves tonight, because there's not one person here tonight who is where they need to be spiritually and in their faith walk with Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said to this great church, I am praying for your faith to mature. You see, we need to recognize that past expressions of faith, while they are good, they are not enough in the economy of God. We must continually be growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ and continually growing in our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Mueller once wrote it this way, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. The beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. Dr. Rasmussen placed that in our notes in our class some time ago, and I jotted that down. I keep it on a 3x5 card in my pocket with some scripture memory. And I simply want to be reminded of that truth. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. When we begin many times to question and wonder, and when we begin to falter, then we're not walking in faith. But the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. In other words, we as a church family tonight need to rise up to the occasion in our own lives and say, Lord, we've seen what you've done in the past, but Lord, we believe you can do it again, and we have faith to believe that you are able. And you see, a maturing faith is what Paul was praying they would experience. Now, there are a few things to remember about a maturing faith. First of all, a maturing faith is always going to be tested. It's always going to be tested. James said in chapter 1 and verse number 3 that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And so God puts us into positions where oftentimes before He gives us more tools and before He gives us more in the way of responsibility, He tests us and He tries us and He wants to see, are they there for me? Is there faith in me? And are they going to be faithful once I give them these resources? A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And God tests our faith not to destroy it, but to develop our faith. And I say tonight that many of you have had your faith developed in the past 12 months. And many of us together will see our faith developing even more. And you see, God is much more interested in the development of our faith than He is in the development of this property. And if God chooses to use a building program to develop our faith, then praise the Lord. But His primary interest tonight is not in buildings and properties. His primary interest is in my heart staying utterly dependent upon Him. So Paul says, I'm praying that your faith will continue to mature. Boy, I get excited when I think about what God did yesterday and last month and last year and 10 years ago. That's exciting. But you know, friend, God says, I want you to keep that same childlike faith, that same belief in me. And so a maturing faith will oftentimes be tested. And a maturing faith must also be exercised. God wants us to continue walking not by sight, but by faith. Whether it be as a missionary who's gone to the mission field, whether it be as a soul winner knocking on a door, whatever the venture, God says, I want you to walk by faith. I've found that oftentimes building programs have a way of exercising my faith. They have a way of causing my faith to stretch out. I was thinking this past week about some of the different things in our Phase 1 building program, and I remember specifically a man that was involved in the purchase of this property with us, and he said, now, Pastor Chapel, he said, we'll go in together on this, and he said, and I'll make sure that we bring the water lines out to the property and put the block walls up for you. And man, he went through this whole list, and I was all of 25 or 26 years of age, and I was listening to that, and I thought, man, that sounds great. I took him at face value, and some of you remember those days. Funny thing happened. We committed our part of the deal, but he never committed his part of the deal. And I remember going to him, and I said, sir, I said, you remember when you said about the water line and the joint development and helping to develop the site because the site was a little farther out. In fact, we had to annex into the city. I said, you remember all that you said? And he said, well, let me tell you a story. He said, you know, I built an orphanage once down in South America back in the 1950s. And he began to tell me about his faith of yesteryear and how that he had walked in faith. And by the way, thank God for the fact that he had done that in the 1950s. That was a blessing. But he, in a roundabout way, he was saying, I'm not going to be able to do it in the 1990s. And I remember finding out how much it was going to cost to bring the water to this property. And now on this phase, I've figured out how much to bring it from another direction. That's exciting. I now know what a loop system is. And what water pressure is all about for the fire department. But you know, I remember about 3 or 4 years ago talking to that man. And I remember the whole description when we talked to him about some things going on in his life and the way things had turned. And I'll not elaborate on it. But I sometimes wonder if he didn't miss a great opportunity to step out by faith again and be blessed by God again, you see. And I was thinking about those days of disappointment. I was thinking about when our general contractor on this building called me up and said, well, I got some bad news for you. We are now bankrupt. And I remember the people that were here working, coming and wanting us to pay them. And they had contracted with a general contractor. And I didn't have anything to pay them with. And we'd given our money to the general contractor. So now we're trying to get some money back from him. And meanwhile, his superintendent got mad because he wasn't getting paid. He took our stamped blueprints and went down somewhere in Southern California and held them hostage from us. So now we had no money, no contractor, no blueprints. Boy, I remember the restless nights, and I remember the trying of my faith again and going to the Lord in prayer and having to call the police to get the blueprints, and on we went with that, and finally getting them back and getting some guys on the side here and getting the job going. You know what God was doing? God was testing my heart of faith before He gave us this new building. God was building my heart and my trust in Him and teaching me how to pray. God says, I want to test you before I give you that responsibility. And oh, how we see in the Word of God that those who grow in faith will be able one day to testify that God was able and that though our faith was stretched, God provided in a great and mighty way. Would you turn over to Psalm 44 for just a moment? I shared this with the fellows yesterday morning at prayer, and it blesses my heart to think about people who live lives of faith and the opportunities that we're going to have. The Bible says in Psalm 44 and verse 1, we have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what work Thou didst in their days, in the times of old. Notice the phrase, our fathers have told us what work Thou didst in their days, in the times of old. I don't know about you, but I look forward to being able to rehearse with my children, perhaps my grandchildren, about what God did back in 1998 and 1999. And won't that sound like ancient days to them? And I'm going to tell them about a time when, man, we got involved in building a building and going forward and starting various ministries. And while at that time they may look back and see all these things developed and, Lord willing, all paid for, and they might just kind of see it all sitting here and somewhat taking it for granted, I want to be able to rehearse to them the fact that were it not for the faith of God's people, none of it would have ever happened. But we'll not rehearse that with our children if we rest on yesterday's faith. The Christian life requires faith day by day by day, trusting in the Lord. And so it is. Paul says, I pray for the maturing of your faith. But not only for the maturing of their faith, but notice secondly, for their love to abound. For their faith to mature, that was his first prayer. but then secondly, for their love to abound. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Now, the first attribute that Paul reminded the church of, he said, now, you started with faith over here in chapter 1. I want to encourage you to keep developing your faith. He said, secondly, I'm proud of the fact that you had a labor of love. Would you notice that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3? Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, and secondly, your labor of love. So he says, now that faith that you started off with, that faith that caused you to step out and begin something, I want you to continue to mature in that process. Don't stop trusting in me. Don't come to a place where you say, man, I don't know if I can continue to walk by faith. He said, that's how you got where you are today, by faith. Keep on growing in that faith. Now he says, secondly, the love that you had, that labor of love that you had, the love that you expressed throughout the city of Thessalonica. He says, I want to encourage you to let that love continue to grow. And that's what he's mentioning in verse number 12. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another. Now, true love always abounds in difficult times. And so as the church at Thessalonica was having their faith tested, Paul said, it's going to be real important now that your love abounds one towards another, that your love for Christ abounds, that you grow in love. Not only that their faith would mature, but that their love would abound. And if we need anything in these next 3 to 4 months, is number one, we need our faith to mature. We need to grow as Christians in faith. And secondly, we need our love to continue to abound in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Several thoughts very quickly. I think we need to have a greater love for Jesus Christ in these days. This Christmas season, we need to fall in love again with the one who came into Bethlehem's manger and who lived a perfectly sinless life and who died on Calvary's tree for our sins. And we need to fall in love with Jesus all over again. As David said, Lord, restore unto me, renew unto me the joy of my salvation. And if you've gotten to a place of complacency and you're finding that it's a drudgery to you, let me encourage you tonight. Look to the cross of Jesus once again tonight and let the love for Christ be renewed in your own heart. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14, Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth us. He said, the love of Jesus Christ compels me to serve Him. And I want you to think tonight about how much Jesus loves you, how much Jesus Christ has done for you, and fall in love with Jesus all over again and be thankful for what He's done. Oh, too many Christians talk the talk and they know all the lingo and they know how to size everything and everyone up, and that's all good and fine. But wait a minute, Jesus has given us a measuring stick whereby we might know that we really love Him. Jesus says, yes, I want you to know, I'll give you a measuring stick. And a lot of people say, oh, I love God more than so-and-so, and I'm a better Christian than so-and-so. And that's all good and fine, but how does Jesus describe the measuring stick for love? How can we really know if we love Him? And don't raise your hands tonight, because I think all of us would say we love Him. But how can we really know that we love Him? How can we know that we're abounding in love? John 14, 15. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. So when we speak of growing in a greater love for Christ, we're not speaking of some oozy emotion. We're speaking of a greater obedience to Christ. We're speaking of being a people who are loving Him more and expressing that love. And we need to be a people who are growing in a love for Jesus Christ more than ever. And how tonight we thank God for people who love one another and love their church and love their pastor. But my friend, the greatest love that we must possess is a love for Jesus Christ. Because friend, a love for one another, while that is important, if we're not loving Christ supremely, the other love will not flow from our hearts. We need to love Jesus Christ tonight. Do you love Him? Do you love Jesus tonight? Are you thankful for what He's done for you? Oh, tonight, let me encourage you. Let me encourage you to say, Lord, let my love for You abound. Let everything I do for You in the new year be from a heart of love and dedication unto You. And what we need as we move into the new year is a faith that is maturing, not stagnating, but a faith that is maturing. And secondly, a love that is abounding. And how many of you tonight say, I want to love the Lord more 12 months from now than I do right now? I want to be in love with Him. And Jesus says, if you love me, then keep my commandments. And friend, without sounding tonight as though we're perfect, we certainly are not. But we cannot say we love the Lord if we're sliding back on those commandments. If the reading of the Word of God, and if the attending of the church house of God, and if our lives spiritually and caring for others is now less and less and less, then perhaps we need to evaluate, do we love Him like we should? Here the Bible says that we're to abound in love. We need to abound in love for the Lord. I believe we need to abound in love for His church. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, Jesus Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And I'll tell you tonight, as I think about that truth, I thank God for the local church, and I'll just say it tonight, I love my church. And I thank God for Lancaster Baptist Church. I thank God for what He's doing in this place. And I want to be in love with the church. Why? Because it's Jesus' church and because Jesus loves the church. And we thank God tonight that He, as the owner of the church, has allowed us to be a part of it, fitly joined together. And we need to have a greater love for Christ in the new year and a greater love for the church in the new year. But notice the text specifically says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another." May I say to you tonight, that as we move into the new year, we need to have a greater love for Christ, for His church, and for one another. Amen. That your love would abound yet more and more for one another. For one another. I thank God for the intense loving spirit of Lancaster Baptist Church. And folks, I want to tell you something. As we move into the new building and as folks begin to visit, they need to sense right away that this is a people who, number one, love Christ, number two, love one another. And you can tell. And I thank God for that Spirit. You know what the Bible says in Galatians 5:22? The fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. You say, "Pastor, I can't really love this guy next to me. He had double garlic for lunch. And he does some things that bother me." You know, sometimes we can't love someone next to us. But in the power of the Spirit, we can love them. And thank God tonight for the fact that there is a loving spirit and we need to grow in a love for one another. You know what my Bible says in 1 John 4:16? God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. And I say to you tonight that we need to pray, "Lord, help me to grow in my love for you. Help me to grow in my love for your church. Help me to grow in my love for my fellow believers." Because God is love and it is his nature that we would love one another. And the fruit of the Spirit is love tonight. And oh, what a tragedy. You and I may not agree with one another at every occasion, and we may not agree with every Christian on everything, but we can love every Christian if our heart is right. And I thank God tonight for the fact that in this passage, Paul says, "I'm calling you to have a maturing faith, but I'm calling you not only to have a faith that is mature, but also a love that abounds." And tonight, we need to have a love for one another, the Bible says here. And this church started off in love for one another, and they were continuing in love for one another. And I say tonight, there ought not to be one man in this church, gentlemen, that you couldn't hook up with and go out soul winning with tomorrow night. There ought not to be one lady that you couldn't get together with ladies and go out and serve with and be happy to serve Christ together because you love one another. And I thank God tonight for Lancaster Baptist Church. And I say as your pastor, I love this church family. I thank God for Lancaster Baptist Church. And I've often said this before. There may be those who could better administrate. There may be those who have more wisdom. There may be those who could preach a better message. But the desire of my heart is that there would not be one who could love this congregation other than Christ, the way that Christ has put a love in my heart for this church. And I believe that's something that Christ does put in our hearts, one for another. And yes, there may be times when you get disappointed with someone. And yes, there may be times when you don't understand a situation. But don't stop loving people. Let God's love continue to flow through your life. Oh, listen, the day that I stop having a loving heart is the day that the ministry's over. And the day that you stop having a loving heart is the day that your ministry is over. And God says, "I want you to abound in your love." Yes, we should love Christ. Yes, we should love His church. But we should love everyone in His church, the Bible says. We're to love one another. And notice what else He says in verse 12. "And toward all men." All men. You know, folks, listen, as we get this new building, we don't need to take the approach that says, "Well, all of us love one another. Now we have a great new building. Let's go in there, kick back, be comfortable, and just love one another." You know what? We would grow stagnant that fast. God's not giving that building to us so that we can just love one another. He says, "I want you to love one another, but also toward all men," he says. That would include the unsaved, wouldn't it? And God says, I want you to have a loving spirit in the church, but then have a loving spirit towards those outside of the church. This has been a great month, really, for outreach. It's amazing to me, all the different things God let us do this month. And you know, as I think about it, I was thinking about yesterday. I went out and knocked on some doors, then I grabbed a bunch of wooden hearts that we made. And ladies, thank you for laboring on those. And I grabbed those hearts and some tracts, and one of our members asked me to make a visit at the hospital, and so I went over to the hospital and prayed with the family. And then on the way out of there, I just went by some of the rooms and in the waiting area, and I was just giving some of those hearts out, and I was just sharing some tracts with some people and so forth. And I thought about that, you know, here I am, a Baptist preacher, wearing my tie and walking into this hospital around Christmas time. Some of the people looked at me like, what is he doing, giving this to me? They looked at that ornament, and they looked at me, and I told them where we're from and what we're doing. And I thought, you know, when it comes to sickness and even death, the calendar's no respecter of persons. Yeah, it's Christmas time for all of us, and we're here tonight healthy enough to be here. But there are people tonight who are dying. In fact, the family I prayed with yesterday, I'm told that their mother passed away a few hours later. You know, I think we need to realize God says, I want you to have my nature, 1 John chapter 4 says. God is love. And he says, I want you to love one another. And we need to love one another, but we need to also, as God loves this world, we need to love those in this world and be concerned for them. And I see as we come into the new year that God says, I want you to, first of all, have a faith that is maturing. And folks, we can't live on yesterday's faith. We need to say, God, stretch me and help me to grow in faith. And then we need to have a love that is abounding, not just saying, oh, there's old brother Coates again. He's been around here for years. You know what you ought to do with old brother Coates? Go give him a big hug and say, I'm glad you're here. And that's a lot of hug, too. Amen. Tell him, brother Coates, I'm glad you're here. I appreciate you. You ought not to say, oh, brother Houck, he's been the principal here for 10 years. That guy, the only day he lets school out is when school's already out. We ought to abound in love for one another. Encourage one another. But you know, not only should we abound in love for one another, but as you're busily doing what you're going to do this week, and I've already planned my shopping for Thursday night, and as I'm going out there doing my shopping Thursday night, I pray to have a pocket full of tracts, and I want God to use me this week, because there's people in our valley who are without Christ, people in our valley who are going to spend eternity somewhere. This past week has been a blur in some ways. It's been so busy. Had a wonderful wedding for Matt and Don Friday night. And had Brother Davis's funeral, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday. And I think about the brevity of life. And I think about the love of God. And I pray, Lord, don't let me get to some place of contentment where it's just us and ours. But Lord, help me to always have a compassion for others around me. Paul said, now the church of Thessalonica, you've got a good start. You started off with a faith that was strong. And he says, but I want to encourage you to let that faith continue to mature. No matter how long you've been here, no matter how long you've been saved, our faith isn't where it needs to be for the new year. And we need to be willing to grow in faith. Paul says, now that love that you had as you started, boy, that was good, that labor of love. But he says, I want you to let that love now really abound towards one another and towards those that are outside of the church. Let your love abound. Have a smile for those that need it so desperately. And then, of course, finally, he says, I'm praying that you will have a holiness to establish your life. Now, verse 13 is an interesting verse. Very quickly, it says, to the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Now, the correlation is still found in chapter 1 and verse 3, so let's look there very quickly. He says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, we saw that. Your labor of love, we saw that reiterated in the third chapter. But then he says, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. The patience of hope is speaking to the coming of Christ again. And that's what we read about in chapter 3 and verse 13. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Paul is saying here, and he's praying here, that they would be prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, thank God that our sins are not going to be revealed in heaven. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." So this verse is not speaking about having a day when we would be standing before God and having lived a perfect life before God. None of us have lived a perfect life. We all fall short of the glory of God. So what is this referencing to? And I believe it's referencing to something called the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 tells us that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And it may seem to you that sometimes there's inequities, and sometimes people are rewarded on this earth who shouldn't be, and some who aren't should be, and on. But one day, Christ will even all of that out. And one day we'll stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says here, Paul is praying that they would have their hearts established unblameable in holiness for God. That God would help them to live a life that is established as a holy life of service unto God. That their life would be separated unto God. In short, that this church would leave a legacy of service for Jesus Christ. And that you and I would have a legacy of holy service unto Jesus Christ. Not because we're holy, but because He is holy. And my friends, when He saved us, He set us apart for the ministry. And He set this church apart for the ministry. And that's why we should live soberly and righteously in this present world. For the grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying worldly lust and ungodliness, we should live soberly and righteously in this present world. And see, friends, God says here, I want you to have a holiness that will establish your testimony and your legacy so that at the judgment seat of Christ, we will have crowns to lay down at the feet of Jesus. Holiness, unblameable before God. Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, you got a good start. You got a great start in your love. You got a great start in your faith. You got a great start in your holy living in light of the coming of Jesus Christ. But now where that faith began, let it continue. And where that love began, let it continue. And where that consecrated life began, let it continue unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we need as a church tonight, more than a bigger building, and what we need as a church tonight, more than a fancier program, is we need a heart tonight that is growing in faith, and a heart tonight that is abounding in love, and a heart tonight that says, Lord, help me to be consecrated in my living for you. Our kids have been working on their science fair projects for the Christian school. And they do all kinds of weird science fair projects. And I asked Christine, I said, honey, what's your project? She said, I'm growing mold. And I thought, well, that's an exciting science fair project. In fact, that I should have had that one when I was a kid, growing mold. And I was thinking about that in the light of this message. And folks, if we're not careful as Christians, we'll begin to grow mold. We'll get to that place where our faith is no longer being stretched, our love is no longer abounding, our consecration is no longer growing. And all of a sudden, rather than being fresh and useful, we can become moldy. Any of us can get that way. And I want to encourage you to say, Lord, here's my life. Take it and use it in the new year. Lord, help me to have a faith that's growing. Help me to have a love that's abounding. Help me to have a life that is consecrated so that when you come again, I'll hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight for this time in your word. Thank you for loving us, Lord, though we're unworthy. Father, I pray that you'd help us as a church tonight never to rely on buildings or programs. Help us always to rely on you. Help us to have a faith that is maturing and a love that is abounding and a holiness that is establishing a life of consecration unto you. Our heads are bowed tonight and eyes are closed. Right now with our heads bowed and eyes closed, and I know this is the Christmas season, but it's also a season to begin looking to the new year. And as we look to the new year and as we hear the prayer of the Apostle Paul, he was praying for the growth of this church. He wasn't praying that they would grow by 200 members, because it is the spiritual growth that is most important to God. And I say to you tonight, my biggest concern as a pastor is not simply making space for new people, but it is making space in my heart for my King, my Lord, my Savior. And I wonder tonight if you'd say, Pastor, in my heart I'm sensing that as I enter into the new year, while I thank God for the faith walk in the last 12 months, that I need to grow in my faith. I need my faith to mature and to continue developing. I see that in my life. Pray with me about my faith developing. Would you lift your hand tonight as God's speaking to you in this realm? A faith that is developing. God bless you. My hand is raised. Lord, help me to grow in faith and trust in you. You may put your hands down. All of us need to pray this way. I wonder tonight if there's someone who'd say, God's speaking to me about my love abounding. My love for my church family, my love for my Savior, my love for the lost, maybe all of those areas, maybe one of those areas, but God is speaking to you about being a loving Christian, the kind of Christian who is at peace with God and who really loves his brother and sister in Christ. And you'd say, Pastor, God's speaking to me about that. I don't want to be a Christian who's not loving. I want to express God's love, and God's speaking to me about this. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand tonight as God's speaking to you about this matter? Many, many hands tonight. Oh, that we would have a loving heart for the Lord and for others. God bless you. May put your hands down. And then tonight, a holy, consecrated life, that we would be able to stand before the Lord blameless, not having missed opportunities to witness, not having wasted the time that God gave to us. And you'd say, Pastor, in light of that day, standing before Christ, God's speaking to me about a consecrated life. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand tonight? Is there someone like that? Shall we stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed? If you're here with us tonight and have never received Christ as Savior, tonight we would invite you to come to the Savior. If you're here tonight and you need to make a decision regarding faith, love, regarding consecration, in just a moment we'll open this altar area for you. Father, please bless in this invitation time. Grow our faith, expand our love. Help us to be a consecrated people unto you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. And may we, in turn,